brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Bee News with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is episode CBN 091, 11/15/2014. Let's roll into article number 1. DC's marijuana vote faces Congress review. Take it away.
Source: NPR. By Jennifer Levin. Voters in Washington, D.C., on Tuesday approved the legal use of marijuana for recreational purposes. Some residents say decriminalizing pot will lead to more illegal activity in their neighborhood. Steve Inskeep, host. Now, voters in several states this week also gave support to legalizing marijuana. Oregon and Alaska approved regulating retail sales, like the states of Washington and Colorado already do. Washington, D.C., approved letting those 21 and older grow and possess small amounts of marijuana. The district's law, though, faces review by Congress. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports. Jennifer Ludden, byline, DCS ballot measure passed 2-1, so it's not hard to find supporters. 24-year-old federal worker Sam Boner was playing ultimate frisbee on his lunch break yesterday. Sam Boner, I don't think it's going to affect usage at all. If anything, it stops young people from doing it because it destigmatizes it. Ludden, a block away, 32-year-old Stephen Mile also voted yes. Stephen Mile, it has been a failed policy. It's led to lots of horrific consequences, like the mass incarceration of nonviolent offenders, has a severe disproportionate effect on disadvantaged communities. Ludden, such arguments have had a big impact in a city that's majority black. Earlier this year, DCS city councilors cited the racial disparity in marijuana arrests when they voted to decriminalize the drug. That downgraded possession of small amounts to a $25 civil fine. And yet racial disparity is not the key issue for all African Americans. 51-year-old Robin Ham says in her neighborhood, she's already afraid of men hanging out and getting high. She often works the late shift. Robin Ham, when I park my car, I call my son, please come outside and walk me through this breezeway, because they're standing there and they're smoking. Ludden, now Ham thinks more people will smoke dope with impunity, and that makes her worry for her own kids and others. Ham, if they legalize marijuana, then there's going to come PCP, crack. I think it's going to lead to more crime, kids not going to school. And then it's going to cause a big, big problem. Ludden, DCS police chief, has said the bulk of marijuana arrests come from neighbors and passers-by calling police. She denies the department's officers, mostly black themselves, target African Americans. Still, support for legalization among city residents is overwhelming. Soundbite of archived recording. Unidentified male, today's public hearing is for the purposes of hearing testimony. Ludden, last week, even before the vote to legalize, the city council debated a bill to tax and regulate marijuana sales. DCS mayor-elect fully supports legalization. That leaves only the soon-to-be Republican Congress as a potential barrier, a notion that angers legalization supporter Stephen Mile. Mile, it'd be just another example of how we're second-class citizens here in D.C. Ludden, earlier this year, Republicans in the House tried hard to block DCS law decriminalizing marijuana possession, an effort that failed in the then-Democratic-controlled Senate. Now, the new Congress will have 60 working days to review this latest bill. Tom Angel, taking time to overturn the will of the voters on a popular issue like marijuana legalization would be a pretty politically stupid move. Ludden, Tom Angel chairs the national advocacy group Marijuana Majority. He says when he first started pushing the issue 15 years ago, people laughed. Even supporters found the notion of making pot legal ludicrous. Angel, fast forward to today, we have legal marijuana in 4 states and the nation's capital and medical marijuana in nearly half the states in the country. So this has quickly become a mainstream issue. Ludden, in a dramatic shift, national polls now show solid majority support for legalization. This week's votes are all the more remarkable, Angel says, since young voters don't turn out as much in midterms. Just wait until 2016, he says. Even more states are planning their own ballot measures. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington. Copyright 2014 Nepal Rupee. All rights reserved. No quotes from the materials contained herein may be used in any media without attribution to NPR. This transcript is provided for personal, non-commercial use only, pursuant to our terms of use. Any other use requires NPR's prior permission. Visit our permissions page for further information.
Article number 2. Hempcrete more sustainable than lumber. Hemp advocates say. Take it away.
Source, woodworkingnetwork.com. By Alex Keown. Hempcrete, a natural building material, will be the focus of a series of home building courses during the 6th Annual Hemp History Week, set for June 1st to 7th, 2015. During Hemp History Week, Hemp Industries Associates will organize multi-day courses to cover contemporary construction methods and hands-on practical applications of working with hempcrete, including forming or shuttering, mixing and casting the hempcrete within a frame structure, as well as finishing with plasters and coloring. Hempcrete is built as energy efficient, non-toxic and resistant to mold, insects and fire. HIA added the product is easily renewable and more sustainable than lumber. During Hemp History Week, more than 1,100 grassroots events will showcase the uses of hemp in a variety of industries, including hemp home building and cooking.
Article number 3. Cannabis and Capitalism. The Horror. Take it away.
Source, Reason.com. By Jacob Sullum. 3 marijuana legalization initiatives were on the ballot last week, and all 3 won. That's a better outcome than I was expecting. I was surprised when voters in Colorado and Washington approved legalization 2 years ago, and I was surprised again when voters in Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, D.C., followed suit. Partly that's because, after 25 years of advocating drug legalization along with various other unpopular positions, I am accustomed to losing. But it's also because I had looked at the polling data. The victory in D.C. seemed like a pretty sure thing, given the legalization initiative's 2-to-1 advantage in a September survey commissioned by the Washington Post. But the poll numbers were much closer in Oregon and Alaska. There were other reasons for low expectations. I doubted that Oregonians and Alaskans would be eager to imitate Colorado and Washington so soon after the votes there, especially given that legal recreational sales began only this year in both states. And like the activists who are waiting until 2016 to push initiatives in states such as California and Massachusetts, I thought legalization would have a better shot in a presidential election year. Judging from the ebullient reactions I saw on Twitter, I was not the only anti-prohibitionist who was pleasantly surprised by last Tuesday's amazing cannabis trifecta. Yet anti-pot activist Kevin Sabatho a week earlier had joked, in an interview with the New York Times, that it looks bad. I want to be on the other team lane. This was not the complete slam dunk the legalization groups expected. Later Sabet, co-founder and president of the prohibitionist group Project Sam, told the Associated Press, I think we've slowed the legal marijuana freight train. As you probably have figured out by now, I am not given to optimism about the prospects for drug policy reform. But Sabet's spin seems delusional even to me. If the legalization train has slowed, that's only because so many people are clamoring to get aboard. And if Sabet has failed to stop it, that's because he unrealistically expects voters to be horrified at the very thought of a profit-driven cannabis industry. Sabet cites the defeat of a medical marijuana initiative in Florida as evidence that he and his allies are having an impact on public opinion. Yet the Florida initiative, Amendment 2, was favored by 58% of voters in a pretty conservative state. Although that was 2 points short of the supermajority needed to approve a constitutional amendment, it is hard to see this result as a sign that support for prohibition is on the rise. The picture looks even worse for Sabet and his allies when you consider the numbers from NBC's exit polling in Florida, which show that Amendment 2 would have been approved if voting had been limited to residents younger than 65. The survey put support for medical marijuana at 79% among 18 to 29-year-olds. 65% among 30 to 44-year-olds, 60% among 45 to 64-year-olds, and 38% among voters 65 or older. That trend is consistent with other survey data showing that both experience with marijuana and openness to marijuana reform decline with age. Last year, Gallup found that retirees were the only age group in which a majority still opposed legalizing marijuana for recreational use. As those folks die off, the outlook for prohibitionists like Sabat will be increasingly bleak. Sabat also took solace from voter-approved bans on the production and sale of recreational marijuana in 5 Colorado cities. Yet the option of local bans probably improves the odds for legalization initiatives, since it reassures voters in cannabis-unfriendly communities who are put off by the prospect of a pot shop on the corner. Like Colorado's Amendment 64, the initiatives approved last week in Alaska and Oregon explicitly provide for a local option. Washington's initiative, I-502, did not, but Attorney General Bob Ferguson has said cities and counties are nevertheless free to ban marijuana stores and grow operations, which many have done. If anything, that kind of local control helps soothe voters' fears about legalization. Sabat has tried to stoke those fears mainly by pairing the word big with the word marijuana, in the hope that Americans will flee in terror from the resulting phrase. "We're on the brink of creating big marijuana," he warns. "We know if it's legalized, marijuana will be commercialized, too," says Project Sam. "We would be incredibly naive to think a commercial marijuana industry wouldn't employ all of the same strategies to convince people, especially young people, to use marijuana. Starting with the observation that legalizing marijuana production and distribution entails legalizing marijuana producers and distributors," Sabat warns that such businesses will make money by producing and distributing marijuana, meaning they will have a financial incentive to sell as much as they can. "That is all completely true, but it is scary only if you view consumers as the slaves rather than the masters of people trying to sell them stuff. Most Americans do not see the businesses that supply them with useful and enjoyable goods and services as the enemy, and I suspect the people most inclined toward that view are also the ones who are most inclined to favor legalization of marijuana, for cultural reasons that don't make a lot of sense but nevertheless have an impact on how people vote." The campaign against Alaska's legalization initiative, Measure 2, tried Sabat's strategy, adopting the slogan "Big Marijuana." Big mistake. There is not much evidence that it was effective. Last May, a month after the opposition campaign was launched, public policy polling put support for Measure 2 at 48%. By the end of July, that number had dipped to 44%. But in the end, 52% of voters said yes to legalization. The opposition to Oregon's legalization initiative, Measure 91, also played up the "big marijuana equal big mistake" angle, highlighting the cornucopia of marijuana-infused foods and beverages that Oregonians could expect to see if they let free enterprise loose. Survey USA reported a dip in support for Measure 91 from 51% in June to 44% in September, but the number rebounded to 52% the following month, and the initiative passed with 56% of the vote. Opponents of the Washington, D.C., measure, Initiative 71, likewise warned voters about marijuana edibles, using the same photo as the No on 91 campaign. They also hoped voters would be aghast at the possibility that tourists would come to town for the weed instead of the Washington Monument. Apparently, Washingtonians found the thought bearable. Initiative 71 passed with support from 69% of voters, up from 49% in March and 65% in September. Cannabis commerce does not seem to alarm voters as much as Sabat hoped it would. But it does seem to worry Mark Kleiman, a UCLA professor of public policy whose consulting firm advised marijuana regulators in Washington state. In a Slate essay published on Election Day, Kleiman noted that Initiative 71 legalizes possession, home cultivation, and non-commercial transfers of marijuana but does not legalize the marijuana business, which will require additional legislation by the D.C. Council along with congressional acquiescence. Kleiman suggested that D.C. should reject the tired commercial formula that serves us so badly when it comes to alcohol and stick with a grow-and-give approach. If the goal is to allow adults to toke up in peace without the hassle of finding a 420-friendly physician and pretending to have some ailment and D to stop arresting so many users and low-level cannabis dealers, disproportionately poor and minorities, it can be done without involving the podrepreneurs now hoping to cash in on the green rush. D.C. should try grow and give and see how it works. It wouldn't generate any tax revenue, or offer consumers the same convenience or product variety as a commercial system, and of course policing the boundary between giving and selling would be virtually impossible. But it might be a big improvement on the current prohibition. Eliminating organized marketing would likely lead to a much smaller increase if any in cannabis abuse than we would expect if we sell pot the way we now sell beer. Unlike Kevin Sabet, Kleiman thinks or at least hopes that we can have legalization without commercialization. There is another name for this form of legalization, prohibition. Back when the booze business was banned, people were still allowed to possess and consume alcoholic beverages if they had purchased them before the 18th Amendment took effect, for example. They could even make their own fermented beverages, based on the Volstead Act's exception for non-intoxicating cider and fruit juices, which the Treasury Department interpreted to mean non-intoxicating in fact, leaving leeway for significant alcohol content. If alcohol prohibition had been replaced by a ferment and give system, the difference would have been pretty subtle, and the market would still be controlled by gangsters selling products of unreliable quality at high prices. The problems with grow and give that Kleiman concedes, in particular, the lack of consumer convenience and the impossibility of policing the boundary between giving and selling in that the black market would persist. Cannabis consumers who are not horticulturally inclined and do not have friends who are would still rely on old-fashioned pot dealers, and they would still face high prices, iffy quality, and limited choices. Consumers would not have to worry about getting busted for possession or home cultivation within Initiative 71's limits, but anyone making money by supplying them with cannabis would still risk arrest and imprisonment. If smoking pot should not be cause for arrest, neither should selling pot, notwithstanding Kleiman's distaste for potrepreneurs and Sabet's worries about big marijuana. Consuming cannabis should not be treated as a crime because it violates no one's rights. Likewise, helping people consume cannabis, whether or not money changes hands in a legal, competitive market, big marijuana will have only as much power as consumers give it. Using force to suppress such peaceful transactions cannot be morally justified by the concern that some people will consume cannabis excessively or that marijuana merchants will exercise their freedom of speech by informing potential customers about their products. I agree with Kleiman that cannabis consumers should be left in peace. So should the entrepreneurs who serve them.
All right, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.
We pollinated your mind. Now, go pollinate the world.